Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to St. John's. Welcome to our service of morning worship, and a particular welcome this morning to Bishop Christopher. Thank you so much for coming to join us in worship. We're honoured that you're here, and we're looking forward to you preaching, and we're looking forward to what you have to say about your Lent appeal. So welcome.
Thank you very much. If I can just butt in, it's very good indeed to be with you. Thank you for the warm, informal welcomes over the last 20 minutes or so, and for the formal one, if I can call it that, at the start of the service. It's very good indeed to be with you. I'm sort of pretending to be your vicar this morning. But this is not a trial or a test, because I don't expect to be a candidate.
Would you like to be seated as Fiona comes to read our lesson for us?
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 31, and can be found on page 849 in your pew Bible. The Lament over Jerusalem. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May what I say and what you hear be true to him who is our friend, our brother, and our Lord. Amen. It is very good to be with you this morning for this service as Lent deepens. And like Jesus in today's gospel reading, we begin to turn our faces towards Jerusalem and begin to contemplate the horror and the hope that awaits his crucifixion and his resurrection. It's often the case for me, and perhaps for you too, that in moments of stress and of challenge, the niceties of life fall away and we say what's actually on our minds. So it is for Jesus in that gospel reading we've just heard. The disciples tell him that Herod wants to kill him. And Jesus speaks impatiently of Herod, saying to them, "Go and tell that fox." Now, all sorts of theories abound. I don't think books have been written, but certainly a lot of sentences have been written about whether it's important that Jesus called Herod a fox. Was it because a fox is sly and a bit cunning? Was it because the fox is an unclean animal? Actually, I want to leave that to one side. That doesn't seem to me to be terribly important as to why he chose fox, but it certainly wasn't very polite, was it? "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons, performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work." Working as I do, of course, in an environment where maintaining good relations is vital, And diplomacy must be maintained, perhaps not at any cost, but wherever possible. I recognize the risk Jesus is taking by speaking so bluntly and directly. There isn't any going back from that sort of directness, from the openness of this sort of hostility. And it's important, because for all that I prize diplomacy and maintaining the peace, some of my colleagues tell me that I prize those things too highly, there are moments in life and in ministry when I recognize that the truth must be told in all its starkness and directness. There are wrongs that must be challenged. There are corrective actions that must be taken. Lent is a time, as I've indicated already in those words with which I preface the collect, Lent is a time for those issues to come to the fore. I spoke, if you remember, about integrity, about maturity and grace. I hope that hope and trust, along with justice, integrity and maturity, are on all our minds throughout the year, but particularly in Lent. In this season, we take a hard look not only at ourselves, but at the society of which we're a part, in which we participate, our role within it, and we name what is wrong and look to take corrective action. So for me, it's good and right that during Lent in this diocese, we choose a focus and raise money through the Lent appeal to help correct injustice and wrong. And I'll be saying a little more about that later in the service. For now, let me just remind you that our focus this year is on education. We're supporting the theological college that trains people to be priests in Ghana. In that college, the living conditions of people in training are cramped, to say the least. People are living with up to 12 others in dormitories, although to call those small rooms dormitories isn't quite appropriate. The conditions aren't conducive to learning or to the deepening of their spirituality in preparation for the huge responsibility they're to bear. In improving those conditions, we are investing in the spiritual needs of people across Ghana who receive ministry from the Anglican Church. We're doing just a bit to correct the imbalance across the world between those who have and those who have less. Each year in the appeal, we support a series of local charities as well. This year, we're supporting not-for-profit groups and organizations that work to alleviate obstacles to learning. There's a whole range of reasons why people struggle to access education, from learning difficulties to poverty in language, through ill health. That impacts on people's quality of life at every level. Imagine for a moment going to a supermarket and being unable to read the labels that tell you not just the price, but whether food is good for you or not. Imagine not being able to get a job because you can't read or write well enough to fill in the application forms. Imagine trying to sort out your medication if you're unwell, lacking the confidence and the ability to navigate the prescriptions and the leaflets that come with the medicine. To confront obstacles to learning here and in Ghana is to tackle head-on one of the roots of injustice in our society. In that gospel reading, we heard Jesus longing to protect and nurture his people. He said, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers a brood under her wings, and you were not willing." In those words from Jesus, I hear all the tenderness of a good mother's love. And we hear all the hurt and rejection that comes when children aren't able to receive that love. In Lent, newly aware of the injustices around us, we join together in expressing our love for the people who live around us, those amongst whom we live and work and move, those to whom we long to provide nurture and support. Of course we do it individually as we greet one another with a smile, with a kindly word, in the shops, on the pavement, as we go about our daily business. Of course we try to do it as a local church community, as we open our doors, invite people in, and as we seek to go out to carry with us the good news of Christ. And we do it too, together, as we try to do our part to address the injustices of our nation and of our world. We long to provide that nurture, that support about which Jesus spoke in the gospel. So in this holy season of Lent, let's renew our commitment to all those things individually and corporately. Let's commit ourselves, recommit ourselves through our prayers, through our practical support for individuals we know, for those who are part of this community in Loxheath, and those whom we shall never know, but who deserve and need our support. Let's pray then that in this Lent we may grow in integrity, in maturity, in grace, and, if I may add a fourth quality, in generosity of word and deed. Amen. Amen.
You'd like to sit. And the choir are now going to sing their anthem by Stanford, "Pray that Jerusalem may have peace and felicity. Let them love thee and thy peace still prosperity. Therefore I wish that peace may still within the walls remain, and ever may thy palaces prosperity retain." The words are on the screen if you want to watch them as the choir sing, but thank you.
Thank you.
you very much, choir, for that lovely anthem. Now, the bishop is going to tell us a little bit more about his appeal for Lent. Thank you, Bishop.
I've given a bit of a trailer in my sermon about the Lent appeal, but I just wanted to add a little more detail. I brought with me a copy of the Lent appeal leaflet. I've seen there are some on the table at the back in the welcome area. Actually, my colleagues have given me one that's been printed in colour. Those at the back are in black and white, I'm afraid. They were all run off on the photocopier in my office, which meant, of course, since we were doing so many, that we didn't need the central heating on for about a week with all the heat that was generated. The Lent appeal, as I've indicated, well, you will know, probably many of you better than me. I've only been here in this diocese for 5.5 years. You'll know there's a long history and tradition of appeals to the diocese in Lent through a succession of bishops. Over previous years, last year, I was reminded of last year's Lent appeal as the choir sang about the peace for which we long in Jerusalem, to which the gospel also referred. Because with a focus last Lent on those who experience the challenge of mental health issues, we supported a rehabilitation hospital and its outreach work, a hospital in Bethlehem in the Holy Land, as well as local mental health charities. The year before, we'd had an emphasis on those who have poor housing, those who sleep rough. The previous year, those who go hungry. And in each of the years, in the recent past, we've supported an international project in an area of need and local charities as well. And this year's no exception as we think about the barriers to learning for both children and adults. With the focus on Ghana that I've mentioned already, the diocese with which this Diocese of Portsmouth is linked, there are 10 Anglican dioceses in Ghana now, just one theological college, St. Nicholas Seminary. So you can see how important it is for the mission of the gospel and the work of the church in Ghana that that seminary, that college, is able to prepare people, men and women, well for the ministry to which they're being called. Conditions, as I hinted in my sermon, are fairly basic. And of course, as so often is the case, most of the resource and priority is given to ensuring that as far as possible they're well prepared spiritually and academically for the decades of ministry ahead of them, and they end up living in conditions that are not very good at all. In any community, including those of the Diocese of Portsmouth in southeast Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, there are all sorts of barriers to learning. We think most obviously of dyslexia and other sorts of learning difficulties. Some people, particularly some young people's home circumstances, make it difficult for them to study properly. Some wrestle with language barriers or physical disabilities, which mean they need extra support and care. Others simply lack confidence and need some help in building that confidence. So that's the appeal for this year. There's one further bit of the appeal. We're asking for your help, please. If you are aware of local groups and charities that fit those categories, or indeed just one of them, those groups that we've been able to support, particularly last year, in helping those with mental health difficulties, have been really very, very small local charities. One that meets, for instance, down in Titchfield, which I had never heard of before it was drawn to my attention. If there are groups you're aware of operating on a not-for-profit basis or on a charitable basis, then please do let us know. You'll find, I think, not only leaflets like that, but also gift aid envelopes if you're prepared and able to enhance the value of your gift. Please pray for the people who are moving around the diocese, particularly over the next couple of Sundays, to speak and to preach about these issues specifically and directly. And do hold all that we've thought about in terms of the Lent appeal in your prayers as Lent continues. Thank you in advance for your generosity to those who are in greater need than us. The last thing I want to say is if you're able to respond to that little bit of the appeal that I have just made and offer suggestions about local charities or groups, you'll be tempted to buttonhole me over coffee after the service. Now, I've been ordained 36 years this year, and I've been, well, I don't know how many hands I need to count the number of times that parishioners have said something really important to me over coffee after the church, over coffee after church, and inevitably not everything that's said sticks in here. Sometimes it goes in one ear and out of another. Please do mention it to me, but if you don't mind, follow up with an email via the Diocesan website or something, because I'd hate to appear to ignore you. Because I don't want to. We genuinely want to hear, but I just might forget what you tell me this morning. And if I can say so, that might be, what I've just said, might be just a little bit of help to your next vicar as well. So that when he comes, don't assume that everything you tell him on a Sunday morning after the service is always going to be remembered. He or she will be human too. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bishop. There is a table at the back with a little display of the Bishop's Lent appeal at the back of church on that side. And there's a box there, which I think is for your donations when you have prayed and decided what you're going to give, and so on. So it's all there, and there's some more of these around. So do take them, and do, as the Bishop says, do go on praying. And now we're going to pray all together, and Mike is going to lead us in those intercessions.